Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning conversation with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, doctor. I'm reading this story this morning about a rise in myopia among children. This is interesting, and this is all about too much time with computers and looking at the phone, isn't it?
It is, Bob, and it's not unexpected, right? You know, as we age, we have problems with the farsightedness, right? We can't see items that are close. They seem blurry, and we need to wear cheater glasses. Well, what we're finding right now is that because of the amount of time that children spend out inside and with a screen, we're seeing a 35% increase in nearsightedness or myopia, the inability to see things in a distance. Now, we already know that the activities that we're seeing in kids right now, playing a lot of video games, doing a lot of things of indoors, is leading to childhood obesity, child type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, increased cholesterol. And now this is just one more thing that we're starting to notice. And you might say, well, why does this even occur? And there's a couple reasons for it. You know, the body is very amazing. The body is going to, it's Darwinism at its finest. Mm. If it says, hey, all I want you to do is see things close, then you don't need to see things far. I am going to continue to develop your eye so that you can see things close and not worry about seeing things far. And if we don't stop it and correct it early enough, then you are going to end up with nearsightedness, and you're going to be wearing contacts or glasses, you know, for a good portion of your life.
It's so interesting that nearsightedness develops in childhood. What is it, between like 5 and 16?
Correct. So our eyes are still developing. The body is still trying to say, okay, what do I need to have here? And if it's not exposed to sunlight, for one thing, that's going to be one thing that's going to tell it, and also looking great distances. If it's only looking and focusing the vast majority of its time on near, it's going to say, hey, I need to be able to do this well. I don't care about the long distances. So, yeah, between the ages of 5 and 16, that prime time that we're seeing right now where people are doing a lot of indoor playing video games is unfortunately not only hurting their heart disease and their weight and diabetes, but now also we're showing that there's a huge spike in individuals with nearsightedness.
Something else to warn your kids and grandkids about. And when we talk about the eye, and I know you've said this, it's the window to the body, and now information about eyesight is being used to predict other illnesses, isn't it?
It really is, you know, and it's very interesting. You know, when the doctor comes at you with that little flashlight and he's right up against your face and he's looking into the back of your eye, he's looking at the nerves in the vascular system in the back of your eye. And in the past, we used to be able to tell how bad someone's high blood pressure was, how bad their diabetes was, as well as some of the eye issues. But what you're talking about now is something called oculomics, which is we're looking at the changes in the back of the eye that then can go on and predict what is going to happen. And you're like, how does that occur? Well, what they did is they took a large study and they looked at tests called OCTs, and they looked at OCTs from individuals over a long period of time who had Parkinson's, as well as OCT tests against people who did not have Parkinson's. And what they found is subtle changes in those individuals that were going to end up with Parkinson's 7 years before they had symptoms. They noticed those changes with this OCT test, which is a 3D scan, essentially, of the eye, which is fascinating because now we're starting to look at it to say, wait, can we identify Alzheimer's early using this? Can we identify MS using this? And it is. It's the window to the body, and really some fascinating things coming out of this.
So this could help you prescribe certain medications and also screen for various illnesses even before symptoms would be present?
Exactly. So if you think about it, we don't make a diagnosis of Alzheimer's until we start having cognitive decline or we start to be forgetful. We don't diagnose Parkinson's until we start to see some of the tremors or some of this, the subtle signs, the motor signs. If we can find out earlier well before the symptoms start, years before the symptoms start, two things are going to happen. One, it's going to allow us to work on either lifestyle changes. It's going to allow us to look at what medications are going to work. And it's also going to allow us to say, is there a trigger that happened 7 years before an illness that caused some of this? So fascinating when we start to look at it and saying, okay, if we identify, just like we do with colon cancer, breast cancer, we identify it earlier, it's much easier to treat. Are we going to get to that point with Parkinson's? Are we going to get to that point with Alzheimer's? That's the golden nugget right there.
And oculomics, that's what you call this. Are we talking about the future, or is this present day stuff?
Oh, no, it's present day. You know, it's used for many other things, and now they're just starting to say, wow, this is a lot of data. This is a very accurate scan. So this is something, you know, we're fortunate out here at the Northwestern to have Wheaton Eye Clinic, a very large eye clinic. They have this test available and are using it on a regular basis. So now we're just saying, okay, we've been using it for eye health for a long time. What's the next step? And the next step appears to be a lot of the illnesses that have a neurologic basis that we can see portions of the eye changing, which is a direct, you know, you're looking at the optic nerve when you look back there, which is a direct connection to the brain. So now the fascinating thing is we're using a test that's here now that will be perfected even more. But also, now we'll be looking, saying, wait a second, these are the data points we're going to look at for not only your eye disease, but also for other neurologic illnesses.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. Continuing with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Tell us about this new Alzheimer's test, Doctor.
Excuse me. Yeah, Bob, it's very interesting. This is, you know, through COVID, we finally got to learn that we can actually do some testing in our home, right? So we can do our own COVID tests and have results here. But the rest of the time, you're going to get a test. You're going to go into the doctor's office. He's going to discuss with you what tests he wants, and he's going to say, you know, I want to check you for diabetes. I'm going to check your cholesterol. I'm going to check your thyroid. What this is Quest has built a test. Quest Diagnostics is the name of the company. They built a test that the patient can go in and request the test, essentially without a doctor's order, and they will get the results of this test back. And the results of the test, that what they're looking for is beta amyloid, which is, you know, what we know is one of the main causes of the buildup of plaque. Beta amyloid plaque in the brain is what causes dementia. So if you went on to the Quest Diagnostics website, you could see, put in your zip code, it'll tell you where the closest draw station is, and then you would go and get your blood drawn there, and they would run the test. And then a physician would contact you with the results of that test. Now, we know that people can have beta amyloid in their blood and not have Alzheimer's, not have dementia, so we're concerned about the false positive test. In other words, it appears you have too much beta amyloid when, in fact, you don't have Alzheimer's at all. But really, the goal is going to be to identify people as early as we can in the progression of this illness, you know, when they have mild symptoms, because we've talked about now, before, when we say, oh, you have it, but there's nothing we can do, now we're starting to see we have more medications to treat this.
Is it an expensive test?
Well, it's about $400 right now, and it's not covered by insurance because it's not, you know, technically FDA approved. But if you look at it and say, if this pans out and continues to do it, will we be identifying patients early and then allow them to get a drug like Leqembi, right, which we know slows the progression? Our problem is that we don't know about these diseases, just like we talked a moment ago about Parkinson's. Same with Alzheimer's. We can't identify it until we have symptoms. Mm-hmm. What this blood test is doing is saying, hey, can we identify it before you have symptoms or when you have just very mild symptoms so that we can start treatment?
About 7 million diagnosed cases of Alzheimer's in the United States now. Expectations the number will double in the next 20 years. Why is that? Is that simply because we're living longer, or is there something else going on here?
Well, that's a really good question, because we're saying, all right, is it because the baby boomers are all aging into this, you know, this time in their life where they're going to be at a much higher risk for this? Or is there something environmentally happening? Because we still don't know what causes it. we know what's happening in the brain, and we know how we can start to slow it with some of these new drugs. But what was the trigger for that? Why are there more cases now than there used to be in the past? And again, like you said, is it because we're living longer? Is it an environmental thing that we've done? We don't know that yet. We just know that now the cause of this appears to be due to this buildup of beta amyloid plaque. And if we can slow that down, we slow down the dementia. Okay, then what was the trigger that said more beta amyloid needs to go into the brain? We still don't know that yet.
Coming up on Thursday of this week, it's International Overdose Awareness Day. What's the idea for this day? Is it to clear up misinformation about drugs?
Well, it's a little bit of that, and it's a little bit more of just about the awareness of, you know, the stigma around drug use. You know, this is an illness, and it's addiction for many, many people. So we have to understand that, yeah, you know, it's kind of frustrating. We hear about how many people have died, you know, in just in, you know, 2021, over 100,000 overdoses. And people are like, well, they need to have better control of themselves. Well, there certainly is the issue of it's an illness. And here's one of the problems. We don't have enough sites in the United States to treat all these patients if they wanted to be treated. So we make it difficult for them to get in for treatment. Many of them will have, because of their addiction, have lost their job, don't have insurance. That makes it even more difficult for them to get in. And we're making it much easier for individuals to get drugs. I mean, it's amazing how easy it is to get drugs on the street right now. So really, for the Awareness Day, it's, hey, be aware of this. Look for individuals who may be early in their addiction. Can we get them treated sooner? Understand that Narcan is a very powerful, safe drug that can be bought over the counter now. We even have it in vending machines, and we should have that around just like we have AEDs around. So people need help. We have to understand they need help, and we really need to identify those individuals early to make the treatment early better.
And before we let you go, Doc, we're hearing a lot about this new COVID strain. Is your concern about the vaccines and whether they're going to be effective?
Yeah, you know, that's the biggest concern. You know, the strain you're talking about, the BA2.86, you probably saw it in the news. You know, there's been about, I don't know, as of Friday, I think there were 10 cases worldwide. And people are like, well, why are you hyping this? Why is all this being on the national news? And one of the reasons is because of the number of mutations. There's a high number of mutations, and a lot of those mutations are based on the spike protein. And the bad thing is that our vaccines are all focused on that spike protein. So now our concern is, how well will the vaccines work? We don't know. People shouldn't be upset. I think it's good that we are being very diligent when we identify a new strain to say, how's it going to work with the medications we have? It appears that the medications will work well. How is it going to work with the screening tests? It appears the screening tests are going to work well. And then how's it going to work against the vaccines? And that's the unknown right now because there's so few cases. But you can see how the medical world is looking at things in three ways, you know, treatment, identification, and then protection.
Dr. Kevin Mullis, Northwestern Medicine. Appreciate the medical briefing as always. Talk to you next Monday.
You got it, Bob. Take care.